Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hey. Hey, Marjorie. How are you?
This is Marjorie. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Good
okay.
to hear your voice.
Yeah.
People are logging on. I see Mark and
Caroline's
Katie are on.
Here.
Caroline's
yep.
here. Welcome, welcome.
Caroline.
Yeah. Hello, Marjorie.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy
I'm
year.
I'm great. Thank you.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, this is Mark and Katie.
Good evening, good evening. How are you
Hello,
two doing?
Mark.
Doing well, thank you, Carl.
Good, good, good. We'll just wait another second, let people come on, and then we'll get started. We're going to start, so just to, for people that are on the line, so Kathy just came on. Hey,
Kathy.
Hey, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
So we're just in a moment, so just start to think. We're going to go over some wins. I want to hear some wins this week, things
okay.
that happened, and or your experience writing your vision, putting on possible futures. So in a moment,
okay.
I'll ask people to give some feedback on that. So
okay.
waiting for a couple of the ladies here. We're going to get started, so I guess they'll join us when they can. So good evening, everybody. This is Carl Carvalho, and I've got Caroline Negley on the line as well. Today is
Hello,
Wednesday,
everybody.
December 19th, 7:30 p.m., and this is week two of our group, week two. So let me know who wants to go first. Let me know some wins that happened this week. Let's share some wins and celebrate each other. Share with us, what was it like to work on your vision statement, to work on your dream, to put it down on paper, and to try on possible futures? So who wants to share their experience with that?
I guess I'll go.
Sure.
All right. Putting it down on paper, it's funny. I never really put it down on paper before. You know, you always have it in the back of your head, kind of what you would like, but kind of putting it down on paper made it kind of like that it could really happen, like it could be like it just seems more real. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just a different feeling and just taking that time out to, like, sit and focus, you know. You know, life gets so crazy and you just, you know, you don't really act on anything. And to sit down and focus and actually write down what your vision is or what you would like, I don't know, just puts it in a different perspective. It kind of makes you feel like, okay, you know, wow, this can happen. You know, this can really happen. This, you know, I got to make. You know, I got to make this happen.
Okay, so it's good. You're absolutely right. By putting it down, inking it, it just takes it to a whole another level. It takes it to another, you know, level of commitment. But here's the thing. I just want to correct you a little bit. Not up to you. It's not up to you. It happens through you. So that's the common hour thinking, and that's the way, you know, most of us grew up, and it's like the American way, right? It's that, you know, if we just work harder, we just put in more time. It's just, you know, the sweat off our brow and all of that. So what we're doing here with dream building is we're approaching it in a whole different way. We're approaching it instead of saying, you know, we make this happen. We're saying that life happens through us. It happens with us. And so we're important.
Eileen is here.
Hey, Eileen. Welcome, welcome. We're in partnership with a higher power. And by doing that, it just makes life a lot more fun. It makes it a lot easier than just relying on our experience or our ego, our talents. There's a mental faculty that's called reason. And so common reason would say, you know, it's not reasonable for somebody who's never had, you know, never went to college or doesn't have a business degree to own their own business. It's not reasonable, right? But there's plenty of stories out there. I mean, just look at Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins never went to college, but yet he's, you know, he's running a multi-billion dollar companies. I think he's got 23 companies or something like that.
Right.
Is it reasonable that somebody that doesn't have a business degree and never went to college, is it reasonable that he now runs, you know, a very, very successful businesses? You know, it's like if a child is caught under a car and a grandmother comes along and lifts up that car, you know, to get the child out, it's unreasonable to think that a human being could lift up a car, let alone a senior woman.
Right.
We hear those stories, you know.
Yes,
so that's why we put it down, we ink it. It's another level of commitment. It's using the other hemisphere, the other part of our brain. So instead of just thinking about it and it being ethereal, you know, because we do use our left side of our brain, you know, for creativity and space and time. But by inking it, putting it down, putting it in language, we're using the other half of our brain. And so we really got
connected to source.
That's connected to source. So, you know, we're using all aspects of ourselves. So it's really powerful. So that's good. That's good. And as people send their visions in, and we did get some in, so we're going to review those, and we'll send our comments and tweaks and calibrations back. So who else? Who else wants to share their experience writing their vision, putting on possible futures? Who wants to share?
Well, Carl, it's Eileen. I've been sick. I've been sick for the past 4 days on antibiotics. Honest to God, I started doing my vision, but I just was so sick this week. I'll get it out there in the next day or two.
Good.
But I have to say, while I was sick, it was a weird week for me. Had a lot of anxiety, and my son's coming home for Christmas, okay? I haven't seen him in 7 months, and I'm having a lot of anxiety over that, and I think it's put a damper on what I'm doing with you guys. And I'm trying to stay positive and whatever, but I'm still anxious because he hasn't been home in 7 months. And you know my story. We see each other at church.
Yeah. So here's how I want to guide you on that. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know how often you get sick. I don't know you that well. But that could be a paradigm. That could be DEFCON 1, because that's part of how we express, right?
It happened to me this week, too.
It happened to Caroline this week, too. You know, we're facing our paradigms, and the paradigms are powerful. And they're going to throw up boundaries, and they're going to throw up stuff to slow us down. So it's interesting that two of you, both Caroline and you, got sick this week.
And I'll tell you what, we had
this homework, we had these challenges, right?
Right.
Yeah. Just to share with you, I had also had homework to send in my life coach, and we both got sick at the same time. I had a cold as well, and I recognized it, and so did Carl, that it was my paradigms. It was the DEFCON coming straight up to hold me back and keep me comfortable, to keep me from growing. And you have to recognize it. And repattern it and just kind of push past it a little bit. And but that's interesting. We both experienced that as well.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
No, I agree because I think I was stressing over the outcome of his 5-day visit after 7 months. Mm-hmm.
I want to guide you on that too.
Okay.
So we're doing dream building here, and we're looking at our 3-year vision, okay? We're looking at the bigger picture on all 4 quadrants. But if you really think about it, everything that we face in life, everything that we do, we can vision out. So I'm going to invite you to, instead of being stressed about it, to say, let me vision what I would really love here when my son comes home. So vision him coming home, being happy, seeing him smiling, seeing, you know, the two of you hugging, sitting down with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and talking, having heart-to-heart talks and just really connecting. So
I'm seeing his growth.
So I'm going to invite everybody here to vision out, you know, in smaller ways. So we can look at the 30,000-foot view, the three-year vision, but we can do that on a micro scale for everything that we do. And so, you know, to hold that space, to hold that, put that, instead of putting the anxiety on, which is part of the paradigms. It's part of that coming up, okay? Hit the pause button, take a deep breath, recognize it for what it is, and say, you know what? I am going to put on the love and the success and the joy and the abundance here. You know, and so you're going to start to vibrate at that frequency. And you imagine, no matter what state he's in when he comes, he's going to walk into that state of love and abundance and joy and connection. As opposed to you feeling anxious, resonating at that frequency, and then he walks into that and then starts to feel that.
Yeah, it's funny, Carl. I'm trying so hard to feel that way, but I'm still like, my mindset is just going towards the other way, and I'm trying so hard. Every time I think of a negative thought, I'm like, all right, stop it, and I'm trying to do the positive thought, but I'm really having a hard time with it because it's a big stepping stone in my son and it's in our life, like him coming home, and I hear you, but it's so hard to do.
It's
okay,
hard.
So we're going to recognize that it's hard. We understand that. But I'm going to give you another, and this is for everybody on the call. I'm going to give you another way to. It's sometimes it is hard, especially when we're in the land of fact and circumstance, to put on imaginally, to put on these possible futures, to put on these possible connections, okay? So here's an exercise that all of us can do. We're going to use one of our mental faculties called memory. Okay, because I know that you have memories of you and your son together where you can bring up that memory and it's a happy time. It's a joy-filled time. It's a love-filled time. And it could be when he was much younger. It doesn't matter what time frame it is. Bring up that memory and really put that on and go step back into that memory with as much of yourself as you can and feel that, resonate at that. Okay. Now this is a technique that we're going to get later in the program, but I want to bring it out because of the situation that you're in right now. So you're going to step into that. So that's one way, using the mental faculty of memory, to be able to put that back on, to say there, I'm going to put on this love. I'm going to put on this joy. I'm going to put on my mother's love and the son's love for the mother. And we're going to step into that atmosphere, and I'm going to put that back on, and I'm going to resonate and sit in that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as long as you can.
It's a really powerful exercise.
It's so powerful.
Okay.
And then you slowly bring yourself back to present time, in that frequency, in that vibration. And then you start to imagine your son, the car pulls up. You see him getting out of the car. You see him coming into the house. There, you know, the tears in both of your eyes as you embrace each other, as you just you tell him that you love him, and he says the same for you. Just so you're in that vibration already. So using our mental faculty of memory is so powerful, because we can go back, because we've had that success, we've had that joy, we've had that abundance in our lives, and so we can go back, put that on, and then be there. And then bring it into present time, and then we can continue forward and put it on into our vision and into our dream. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
The only way to reprogram that is to keep doing it over and over again. It's the repetition of it, and
it's hard at the beginning, and sometimes it's like you're in that vibration and you feel that love and that expansiveness. And then you step into present moment, and you start to move forward, and it contracts. You feel it contract, and it sort of collapses.
You're going
before
right
you.
Back to it.
But that's okay. It's just like you go back, you take a breath, you do whatever you need to do, and you come back to it a little bit later. You put that back on, and you feel that joy and that love, and it's a practice. It's just like with meditation. If you ever start meditation, it's like your mind is like a drunken monkey, right? It's just like the thoughts are all over the place. So you come back and you give yourself a focus, whether it's on you're counting your breath, or the focus on the breath, or you're focusing on a focal point on a candle, the tip of a lit candle, the flame, whatever it is, and you notice that your mind is wandering again, and you bring back the focus. So it's the same thing. It's an easy thing, but it's not simple. It's easy, but sometimes it's a little bit challenging. And so,
We can talk later too. I can give you an exercise for when the anxiety actually comes up that I learned from my life coach. So I can talk to you again about that.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah. And so that's so good. So notice what you're noticing. You notice that it's a little bit of a challenge, but that's okay. We're going to go back to it 1,000 times. You're going to go back to it 1,000 times, and you're just going to keep putting it on because this is just one moment in your life. This is one more Christmas, another holiday. But you're going to apply it to next week, and you're going to apply it to next month and next year and so forth. It's a muscle that we develop. And the more that you do it, the more that you can put on that joy and vibrate at that frequency, well, things start to shift outside of you. Things start to shift.
Okay.
So good job. Just, you know, stay in it. I know that's where we're here. Lean, you know, Caroline will give you some more, you know, just lean on us. And you will, you know, we're going to hold that space for you as well. It's like we're praying for you. We're intercessors. We're going to hold that gap. We're going to hold that space for you as well.
And I'm sure the whole group would join us in that.
Yes, we will.
So one more. Anybody else want to share before we move on? Putting on the possible futures or paradigms that came up.
Who's on the call so far? It's Kathy and I. And
so we got, you got, you know, Eileen, we got Caroline, we got Kathy, we got Marjorie, Mark and Katie, and me. So we're all here, the gang's here, yeah. Camille. Camille hasn't logged in yet, but we're all here. So. All righty. So so let's just review a little bit about last week. So, you know, the key teaching points were, first of all, that the point of power is within you. The point of power is within you. There is a power that is breathing you that is greater than any circumstance, any fact, any situation that you can face. So same thing with Eileen, same thing with Caroline, same thing with all of us. We have a power that is breathing us. That's the first point. We live in an inside-out universe. So what is going on inside of us? And just think of it as you know, it's generated by thought. It's generated by the frequency that we're vibrating at. That's what's reflected outside of us. So it's an inside-out universe. The kingdom is inside of us. We have the capacity and the power within, you have the capacity and the power within you to create whatever you want. And so we're learning here, we're learning the skills, we're learning the techniques and the ideas and the concepts to say we don't have to just live life by default. We can live life by design, and that's what we're doing here. We talked about your vision statement, you know, putting it in present tense. Putting it in positive language, not saying no debt or pain or anything like that, putting it in positive language, putting as much detail and specificity in it as possible in all the four domains that we're talking about. So our health and well-being, our love and relationships, our vocation. So I think I mentioned this, the root word of vocation is vocare. It's a Latin root is vocare. Vocare means calling. So if we think of our jobs, our vocation, but if we really look at the root, what is your calling? What is God calling you to do? What is your heart calling you to do? It may not be what you're doing right now. And so there may be a bigger plan there. And so if we look at that, because statistically 85% of people in their job don't like the jobs that they're doing. And so what is your vocare? So that's the third, and then we have our time and money freedom is the fourth domain. So what would you love? What would you absolutely love? And we bathe our dream in gratitude. We bathe it in joy. We bathe it in success. We bathe it in love. And we start out, so I am so happy and grateful now that. We're in present tense. We're putting that on. We stated in present tense with the power of I am. I am. So the greater I am is what God is telling us, okay? Who we are, so we put that in our vision, the greater the power of I am. We want to be as specific, as much detail as possible. We want to paint that picture. So we're looking at a blank canvas in front of us, and we start out with with just lines and stick drawings and outlines and pencil, light pencil, and then we start to put the detail in. We start to put the tone and the shading and the color. We start to put the feeling. What does that feel like to be living the life I would absolutely love? And then we always sign off on the bottom, this or something even better still. This or something better still. Because we hold our dream with an open hand. Because like you know, I said, if you're going to drive from New York to L.A., there's unlimited ways that you can get from point A to point B. And you may have mapped it out. You may have a plan. You may have the GPS. But you know what? God has got a much better view than we have. The infinite intelligence has a much better view. So that's why we say this or something even greater. Because from our point of view right now, we may be dreaming too small. The dream may be growing, and it may be growing, and expect it to grow. And more detail and features and specifics will come in. Beyond our wildest dreams. So using our imagination and checking into that. So like I said, some of you, you know, have sent in your vision statements. We're gonna, you know, spend some time with that. We're gonna send back some feedback on it. And those of you that haven't yet, for whatever reason, just, you know, get those to us. Get those to us, and we're gonna.
And
keep
they don't have to
back.
Be perfect because they're gonna.
It's a work know. In progress. It's a work in progress. Because, like I said, you're gonna tweak it. It's gonna change. Go ahead.
Right. Actually, it's already changed in like 1 week for me, but can your vision statement just be for like the, like you say, like your vision, you know, like your vision for your future and whatever, but like I just want a vision for next month or next week and whatever, like is that, you know, like.
So what we, you know, what we say is go three years out. And the reason we say that is like what we're doing is we're painting the bigger picture right now. Okay. You can break that down, like I said, with, you know, like your relationship with your son, him arriving home, vision that out, vision that moment out. But in this exercise, we're looking at the bigger picture. And we'll go 3 years out because here's the thing. Our paradigms, you've already experienced it, they're very powerful. They have their own gravitational pull. They're very strong. And so if we only go a year out, a month out, a week out, a year out, they can go, you know what, I saw what you did in the past year. I know you're not going to be able to do that. You know, I'm not going to let you to do that. I'm going to keep you in the safe zone. You go 3 years out, that's a little bit, they can't really calculate that far out. And so it doesn't mean that it'll happen in 3 years. And I've seen many, many people, their dreams happen a lot faster. But the reason that we're just visioning out 3 years is just to sort of, you know, override our paradigms, that natural paradigm, you know, that they come up. But that doesn't mean that you can't vision moments that are coming up, moments with your son, moments with the holidays, moments with New Year's.
Yeah, I just don't think you were ever connected. I said this, like, if it was 3 years from now.
Yeah, and so that's what the exercise was, 3 years from now for that reason.
Right.
And then, we're painting the absolute what you would love. But again, once we start and we continue with this program, we had started advance. We're going to have more action steps and so forth. Parts of it is going to take off and they're going to happen much faster. And then you know you're part of that creative process and you're just going to see it unfold. And it starts to roll and it starts to happen, it just gets more and more exciting. So,
yeah, and the work shows. The more you do the exercise and get into vibration and repattern those paradigms, that they show up.
Yeah. The work shows. So that's why I always encourage everybody to, you know, you want to, once you have your vision, you want to put it on as often as possible. You want to rehearse that. If it's a dream house, how many times can you walk through that house? How many times are you going to have another loved one show, your neighbor show it? Let me show you my house and walk through the house with them again. Imaginally, the details. What does the kitchen look like? You know, what is the garage? What is the basement? What, you know, or the car you want, or the business you want, or whatever that is, the book you're writing, the songs you're writing. So you want to put that on. So this works if you work it, just like Caroline said. This works if you work it. You have to lean into it as as
right.
much as you can. It's about putting yourself in a vibrational match with your dream. You know, and we'll be working with that idea throughout the 12 weeks we work together. It's all about that vibrational match. And so, again, like with Eileen with her son, if she's vibrating at anxiety, but then that's what the cord is right now. That's the frequency, that the note that she's putting. And that is, and she's projecting that out. That is coming from out, from within her, it's coming out. And
like
attracts
like.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
it's
I know.
Like,
and
I'm
trying to change it, but it's so hard. I keep, every time I try, I
up
try
until
to
now,
stop
it's been
myself.
Hard. We don't want to put a period at the end of that.
Yeah, no
right?
period there.
Up until now.
It's
been hard.
And so you're going to just keep, you're going to keep practicing it. You're going to go back into a memory, and you're going to put on that vibration. And you're going to vibrate at that frequency. And that's just going to, because you can't be in abundance and love and have anxiety at the same time. They just can't exist in the same space.
Mm. Right.
You can't have love and hate in the same space. You can't.
Fear and faith is complete.
Fear and faith are opposites. You can't.
Right.
So put that on.
Okay.
And again, this program's about raising your awareness. Notice what you're noticing. Raising your awareness. You now have a different perspective, a different outlook, a different approach. You want to immerse yourself in the audios. Listen to them over and over and over again. It's not something you just listen to once. It's something you study over time. You let the teaching soak into your cells. You really bathe yourself in it. And again, the clearer your vision is, with the more detail, the more we paint the picture of exactly what it is we want to create, the more energy we create around it. You know, the scripture says that, you know, our steps are guided by the Lord, are blessed by the Lord. In that scripture implies we are moving. We're not sitting still. We're not sitting in a cave and just meditating. We are moving. And so that, you know, God loves motion. And so we're moving. Life is all about motion. And a way to do that is to read and or write out your vision at least daily, at least one time a day.
Daily.
You want to practice that. So it's like your vision right now is like a newborn baby. And I think, most of us, I think all of us on the call have children, okay, or at least have dealt with newborns, right? How often do you need to feed a newborn? Several times
every
a day, right?
Hours.
Every couple hours, right?
Yeah.
You need to feed it, right? It's the same thing with our little baby newborn, this dream, this vision. We need to feed it, which means that we put it on several times a day, every couple hours, at least, you know, several times a day. So the more we do that, the more we get into that vibration, the more we practice it over and over and over again.
Okay.
So now we've created a dream. We're starting to blueprint it. And again, it's a work in progress. It's not like Caroline said, there's no period at the end of the sentence. It's a work in progress. It's going to grow and change. Now, with this lesson for this week, is we want to test that dream. We want to put it to the test. We want to make sure that it's right. So, for instance, if you were building a house and you went to an architect and you say, okay, this is what we want, and they draw out the house and you give them all the details just like we are here. We're blueprinting. They put it all down, and then they say, okay, the blueprint's ready. Come take a look. So you come and you look at that blueprint, and you go over every single square inch, every detail, because you want it right. You want to make sure that it's right, because as you start to build, you don't want to start making changes then, right? It's the same thing when they make a feature film, is they storyboard the whole thing. Every moment of the film is storyboarded out because they want to make sure that their creation, they're getting the detail, they want to make sure it's right. They're testing the blueprint. They're testing, you're going to test your dream. And the way we do that, there's five questions we use to test our dream to make sure it's worthy of us. Not us worthy of the dream. Is the dream worthy of us? Again, inside out universe. Because a lot of times, like, oh, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I don't know if God wants me to have that. Well, if you are breathing, God wants you to have that. You're breathing. Is the dream worthy of you? And we're going to test it with these five questions. So number one is, does it give me more life? Does it give me more life? When you put on that dream, when you step into that vision, is it expanding you, or is there a bit of it that's contracting? If there's any form of contraction, The dream isn't big enough. You haven't tweaked it yet. It's just not right. So it's like going into a clothing store and you're putting on costumes, you're putting on suits, you're putting on shirts. You want to make sure it fits and it feels good and it's something you absolutely love. So does it give me more life? You want to feel that expansive. You want to have an overwhelming yes. To all of these, you want to have an overwhelming yes. So does it give me more life? What would you love? What would you love? And don't be afraid to really use your imagination and put that on. Again, in the imaginal world, there's no limits. There's no limits. We serve an unlimited God, unlimited universe that's always expanding and always expressing itself. So if you can put your order in for anything that you would love, put the order in. Don't hold yourself back. Just really put it out there. So number one, does it give me more life? Number two, does it align with my core values? Now, this is important because I know a lot of times, like, you know, years ago, you know, especially when I got into network marketing, you know, people were like, oh, you know, we're going for the fancy cars and the jewelry and the vacations and this and that. And, you know, and that's what we promote out there. But does that align with your core values? Does that align with everybody you talk to, their core values? And the answer to that would be no. Because not everybody wants the fancy fast cars and the fancy vacations and that jet set life. Some people's core values are like, you know what? I'm happy with what I have. I would just like to have, you know, all my bills and statements at zero, and I would like to give more.
That's
I would like
me.
To tithe more.
Yeah.
Right? I would like to help a niece or a nephew that's struggling to go to school, and I would love to pay for their schooling or pay for their books, or an aging parent that needs some help, and I would love to retire a spouse.
Right.
Okay. So does it align with your core values? And Mary talks about that in the teachings, where she talks about that young lady who, you know, she wanted adventure in her life, and she thought adventure was going on a cruise ship.
Yes,
but,
yeah.
You know, did it align with her core values? She's got a three-month-old at home. Imagine being away from your three-month-old for months at a time. So it didn't align. And so there, that was that, you know, the little bit of, you know, a poll saying, you know what, something here isn't lining up. Something in my core. And if you don't know what your core values are, that would be a good exploration to find out. What are your core values? You know, what is it that resonates with you? What's important to you? Okay? So it has to align with your core values. So that's number two. So number three, does it make me grow? Life is always seeking a fuller, freer expansion of itself, of itself. So does it make me grow? So again, is it expansive or is it contractive? Am I settling here? Am I stepping back? Or am I really growing? Growing way beyond my green growing edge right now, way beyond the limitations that I know right now. Okay? So does it make me grow? We want a resounding yes there. Number four, does it require help from a higher power? Now, this is really important. This is powerful. Because if you write out your vision and you know how to get to it, then it doesn't require help from a higher power. It may be a worthy goal. I would call that a goal because you already know how to do it. But what we're saying here is your vision, you're not going to know how you do it. You're not going to know all the answers. You shouldn't know all the answers. You don't have to figure it all out either, because we're working, we're co-creating here, and we're tapping into unseen forces, higher levels of thinking and being, because life happens through us. It doesn't happen to us. And we don't, you know, we're not using our egos here, or we are, but we're not 100% using our egos to say, I made this all happen. Well, there's a higher power that you're working with, that you're co-creating with. And so does it require help from a higher power? Is this beyond anything I've experienced before? You want a resounding yes to that question. So number one, does it give me more life? Number two, does it align with my core values? Number three, does it make me grow? Number four, does it require help from a higher power? You want resounding yeses to all of that. And if there's any hesitancy, any contraction, any doubt, then you go, okay, I have to tweak that. Let's put on a different future. Let's change it. Let's go back and calibrate it, because you want resounding yeses. And then the fifth question, does it have good in it for others? We're really here to serve. We're here to serve. Does it have good in it for others in all aspects of your vision? And so, you know, by growing that business, you're helping other people. You know, by, whatever it is, writing that book, you're going to help other people. Writing that song, you're going to help other people. Even if part of your vision is you want to find the love of your life, you can say, well, how is that going to help me? How is that going to, how is good in it for others there? Well, think of it this way. If you ever went to the mall or went downtown, you're shopping, you're out and about, and you see a couple and they're walking together and you're observing how they interact with each other, and you could tell that they, no matter what their age, you can tell that they're absolutely in love with each other. You can feel the energy, the bond, that connectivity between them. And does that not fill you with joy? Does that not, that vibration that they're putting out, does that not fill the space around them with love and joy? Of course it does. There is good in it for others. But just being in that space, being in that, say, look, love exists. Love is abundant. Love is there for everyone. So if that's part of what you're seeking, or any relationship in that matter, is there good in it for others? Of course there is. Of course there is. And if you're building a business, you're building a charity, whatever it is, whatever that call is, that vocare, what is your calling, there's got to be good in it for others. And so you want resounding yeses. We test it, and we keep tweaking. And if there's any little, again, a hedging, a hesitation, we want to go back and we want to tweak it. We want to make sure that it's a resounding yes all the way around. Because, again, use your imagination. Make it up, because you're going to make it up anyway. So just go in and paint the pictures. Put the strokes on. And if something doesn't feel right, take out the eraser and erase it. Fill it in with something else. Replace it with another, you know, another fun costume, another fun, you know, option that you can put on. So, you know, you want to be able to answer yes to all of these. And then you know your dream is big enough for you. You know it's big enough for you. And again, don't be surprised if it expands beyond that. Because as your awareness grows, it's like climbing a mountain. The vistas start to change. Your point of view starts to change. Because now you're in the valley and you just see the trees and you see the rocks and you see the facts and circumstances, but as your awareness grows and you start to climb that mountain, what happens? Your point of view changes. You start to see beyond the valley. You start to see the horizon. You start to see the towns and the villages and the books and the songs and the businesses, and you start to see it. And you start to, your imagination grows and your dream grows, and it becomes more and more worthy of who you are. Who you are. So, we let the dream build us. We let the dream build us. If our dream is big enough, it will require that we become a different person than we are today. Just think about that for a second. It will require us to become a different person than we are today. Because right now we're vibrating at a certain frequency. We're at a certain place. But we want to go to a different place, and that requires us to shift and to change and to grow and to step out. So we cannot get to our dream. We must come from it. And that's the whole point here of dream building, and that's why we do the blueprinting. And that's why we create the seed, and we put it on, and we feel it, and we step into it. Because, again, that vibration, It's like a radio signal coming out from us. And it comes from us, it radiates out, and then like attracts like. That law of attraction starts to work, and God starts to move things around to make that happen. So you cannot get to your dream, you must come from it. And in order to come from it, we must become it. We must become that person in the dream. We must become that person that owns that house, or that wrote that book, or owns that business, or has that relationship. has that time and money freedom. And sometimes this feels fun and exciting as you see and feel yourself growing. Because that's, you know, just like a child stepping into an imaginary world. It's exciting. It's fun. And we want it to be fun. We want it to be exciting. But sometimes it's more difficult because it means letting go. Because, again, there's not everything that's in your life right now can come with you. Not everything can come with you. Not everything in your life right now will be able to come with you into the next phase of your own becoming. Just think about that. Your current habits, your current thought patterns, your current belief systems, they have to change. Your paradigms can't come with you. You're going to outgrow them. Okay? So your dream will bring up things that don't fit with it for release and repatterning. And that's why we celebrate when the paradigms come up. We celebrate when you get knocked out and you're in bed with the flu. Or you get that the fear comes up, or those dissuasions come up, or the distractions come up. Yeah. I had Caroline just before. We were working on an exercise. I said, I want you to write, you know, some positive statements about yourself. Positive I am statements. I just wanted you to write 18 of them. Thank and I you. Went off, and I'm sitting next to her, and I'm doing some work, and I look over, and I said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I haven't checked Facebook yet today. I said, I want you to write your 18 statements.
I said email, not Facebook.
All right, email. Right? She goes, I haven't checked my email today. Well, what was that? Did I hear a paradigm just pop up? And so I said, You know what? She goes, and then she got a little defensive. I'm sorry to pick on you, Caroline, but she got a little defensive. She goes, I already know what I want to say. I already know the 18 lines I want to write down. I said, it's already in my head. I said, okay, great. I said, write them down really fast and then go back to your email. And she's like, oh, and she took out a piece of paper. And guess what? She did write them down. She did have them.
Good.
But the whole point of the exercise was to write them. Do it in the moment, right here, right now. But yet, oh, wait a minute. Paradigm came up. I got to go check my email. Why? Because writing those 18 statements, positive I am statements about myself, that scares my paradigms.
Yeah.
Because
wow.
If you're vibrating at a higher frequency and your paradigms are at a lower frequency, you're forcing your paradigm to match the frequency that you're at. To that paradigm, it feels like it's dying, and it is, because it has to repattern, it has to recode. And so to the paradigm, there's a part of you that's dying, and that's scary to that part of you, because that paradigm was put there probably by somebody that you love that was protecting you in that moment. But in order for you to go where you're going, that paradigm can't come with you. And so sometimes we have to let go of relationships. We're changing the nature of relationships of people around us. Sometimes it means letting go of behaviors or habits that we have right now.
Right.
That may have served you. Maybe it was a survival mechanism growing up, but it's no longer serving you. It's acting as something that's holding you back. So we need to let go of that. Sometimes it means letting go of patterns of belief. Those are our paradigms. We have to recode it. Maybe it means letting go of a job.
Right?
Something that's just not serving you. And like I said, statistically, I think it's about 85% of people that are in JOBs, jobs right now, they just don't like where they are. You know, and some outright hate it, right? And a lot of them, they're just not satisfied. And so those things cannot go with you to where you're going. And I had a pastor one time I heard, he said, and Mary talks about that too, you know, there's some people in our lives that we think they're going to be there for our whole lives, but it turns out they're only there for a season. And some people are like booster rockets. If you think of like the Challenger, right, if it's on the launch pad and it goes up and it's got these booster rockets. And sometimes we have people in our lives who are like these booster rockets, and they travel with us for a certain amount of time or certain seasons in our life. And then what happens is we need to go to a higher altitude. And what happens is the booster rockets fall away. And that happens sometimes in life. It doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean there's going to be pain and hurt. It just, they can't go where we're going. And there's certain things, habits, beliefs, patterns, things around you, places, that just can't go to where you're going. And so we need to decide what's going to come along for the ride and go to where we're going. And the word decide, so the root of the word decide means to cut away. So you're deciding for your life. You're deciding for your dream. You're deciding for your vision. So it's like when Michelangelo had a block of marble in front of him, and he knew David was in there. And so what did he do? He cut away what was not David and left David. And so it's the same thing with us. We're like this raw block of marble, and there's things around us that are just not us that need to be cut away to make that change so we can go further, we can expand greater, we can become who we're meant to become. So when you decide for your dream, it will require that you cut away from some things that are just, they're not you. They don't vibrate with who you are, you know. So our dream requires the same thing what Michelangelo did, of cutting away what's not David. So we are the sculptor of our lives. We cut away the things that are no longer serving us, the things, the thought patterns, the belief systems, the people, the jobs, the places, the things, the objects that are no longer serving us. So we start to cut that away. And it's a process. I mean, it's not like like changing diets or doing an exercise plan. It's like, oh, I'm going to go run a marathon next week. Right. Sometimes it takes time. There's this growth that has to happen, okay? So We do that as a process. So I want to open it up for a little bit of discussion here. Just off the top of your head, off the top of your heart. So in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? And the other question is, are you willing to let the dream build you no matter what? Are you going to decide for your vision and decide to cut away what's not you? So in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? And are you willing to let the dream build you no matter what? So who wants to share?
Well, I'm willing to let the dream build me no matter what. That's for sure. This is Eileen. My dreams right now are not, I'm not more, I have to say, like, I don't care about having the fancy car and the fancy home. My dream is more about health and happiness and family and to me and love and spirituality. And, you know, to me that's more, like, I thought about it last week when I said I wanted to write a book and this and that, but the more I thought about it, it changed my mind. Because it wasn't
okay, so
really...
so let me just say, it doesn't have to be an and or, it could be an it could be both. So you don't you don't have to settle and say, you know what, the book is, you know, I really don't need to do the book. If that's part of who you are and the book is there, it's in you, put the book down.
Right.
It's not an or, this or that. It's a this and that. So
yes,
make it a this and that. Put it in there.
Right.
Put it in there. There's no reason why we just have to cut away, you know, part of our dream and just focus on that one area. If that book is in there and you know that book is in you and you know that it's going to not only serve you and your family, it's going to serve thousands of people that read it.
No, but the problem is the book that I would write would not serve a lot of people. So that's why I decided.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Don't limit yourself. Because here's the thing. Your mess is your message. Your test is your testimony. So whatever you put down on those pages, and it could start out as an exercise, you know, to be cathartic for yourself. But just know that what you're going through, there are tens of thousands of people going through the same thing. And so if there's a book there, even if it starts out it just as being a therapeutic exercise for yourself, to release and unburden, which is, you know, like journaling type of thing. But if that ends up turning into a book, the book is going to serve thousands of people. Thousands of people.
Yeah.
So don't limit yourself. That's a paradigm saying, oh, you know, it's not really meant to be read by a lot of people. If you're writing a book, it's meant to be read. There's an audience there. There's an audience there.
Right.
I met this one guy at one of the events. And he was writing a book, and then to talk about specific, he was writing a book about a very specific industry, about cybersecurity. And it was so specific. And you think, like, how many people are really going to read this book, right? But you know what? That book is in him. And that book is coming out. And he already wrote it, and he was like getting it published. Because no matter if it's coming through you, there's an audience for it.
Right.
Your test is your testimony. Your message is your mess is your message. Because if you've gone through something or you have something to teach and you put it down, if that's something that the Lord put on your heart, write the book. Put it in your vision. It's not, you don't have to do this or that. It's a this and that.
Okay.
Put it down. Put it down. And I know just, you know, from knowing you for these past couple of years and more recently what you've been sharing, there's a book there. You have a story there. And even though you're still living it, there's power there. There's a power that's breathing you, and that story will serve other people. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't mean, you know, we're all flawed, you know. It's like, you know, that's what Stan Lee, you know, he just passed away. He was one of the co-founders of Marvel. And what he brought into that world is superheroes have flaws. That's what made them so successful. When he started to say, you know what, they don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. Share your flaws, because that people are going to resonate with that. They're going to say, oh,
right,
I'm going through the same exact thing. The words that you just spoke, the words I read on that paper, resonate with me, and it means something to me. So it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you will always find somebody to commiserate with you and share your pain. But you're always going to find, you're going to find those people that you're going to share your joy. And you're going to share your success and your triumph.
Right.
That's what's in that message. And the same thing with Mark. There's a book in Mark. There's many books in Mark, actually. And I know, brother, you're going to put that down and you're going to touch thousands of people. I know there's at least one or two books in me. I mean, even years ago, you know, Dina said that, you know, I should have been a writer. 25 years ago, she told me that.
Wow.
So there's messages there, and there's an audience waiting for it. Because if the Lord put it on your heart, there's a reason for it. And that's what we're going to do with this. Don't cut it out of your vision. Put it in the vision.
Right. It's been in my mind for, it's funny, I went to an angelic healing kind of thing many years ago, and I was told so many times that I was going to write a book. They're like, you're going to write a book one day. And I said, I can't write. I don't know how to write. I'm not literate. I'm this and that. And they're like, no, you're going to write a book one day. And it's always been on my mind, like, daily, that I think I'm going to write a book. You know, like,
there's a book there. And you don't have to be literate. That's your paradigms dissuading you. You're not literate. You don't know how to write. You know what? Do you know how to speak? Can you speak English and put two words together and form a sentence?
Yes.
No, you're right. It's funny, because when I think about it, I'll get an email from, I get a lot of emails like, you know, Jack Canfield?
Canfield, yep. Chicken soup for the soul.
I constantly get emails, and then I got an email the other day like, how would you like to write a book? Did you ever want to write a book?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that
that's
came out of nowhere. I've been thinking about that all week, and I get this email.
Go.
How do you write a book when you don't know, you know? So
here's the thing. You don't have to know. That's the part of the test. Does it require help from a higher power? Yes, it does.
Yep. Yeah.
So
I believe in a higher power.
That dream is worthy of you. Put it down.
Yeah.
Put it down.
Okay.
All How about you, Mark?
Hi. It's been a pretty expansive week, so there's so many things I couldn't share, just the time of year. But I would say both my wife and I have had some significant breakthrough this week with children, just by talking about things. But, boy, I tell you, it's the time of year that's making this a little bit challenging for me. However, we live out of the big city and we're up in the mountains. So just to be able to get quiet and look at the view, I mean, just on this call, I've been writing down some new things that I believe
you know, it's not just writing, but I believe we all have poems in us, and we all have songs in us.
Yeah.
Out of our messes, out of our tests and challenges, it's just, do we do that pause, take a moment, like you said, step back and breathe long enough to listen and begin to ask those questions and write it down. So I am a writer. It's all about discipline for me and getting into a new habit. And I'll leave it at this. I don't know, Carl and Caroline, if you've heard this, but there's, you know, we learned about the Kangen water, and I didn't mean to put a plug in there, but we believe in it through a brain doctor, Corrine Allen, and that was almost 10 years ago. So we're constantly learning about the brain and the fact that it can create new neuron pathways and you know, be stimulated. But what I'm seeing in everything we're doing now, we all have memory. So what we're doing now in this project, so to speak, it's like building a building. We're actually able to start creating new memories, new vision, new hopes, this, that, and the other. And as we vibrate higher, obviously, people are attracted to us, even if we're just kind of in the beginning stages. It's like, it'd be like somebody hiring people to come on and help build the project or the building. So I'm really being stimulated in this exercise. And I think it's a wonderful dream tool. And then lastly, what I do and what I've done particularly the last 3 to 4 years is I have a big whiteboard in my office and I put everything up there. But it's been blank for about 6 months other than, you know, I say every day, Lord, I ask for your grace and I receive your grace. But I'm just encouraging everybody, and I think we've all heard through maybe Wade or other people, it's really cool not only as you write your vision, but it really does help to have pictures. And, you know, you can create them in your mind, but I'll close with this. I have pictures upstairs. It's funny, Carl. I'll send you and Caroline my picture on my phone. It's Field of Dreams with a little girl making a mess with paint and just happy, and that's my wife. That's how I see my wife, Katie. Oh. So, at any rate, I know I kind of went all over the place, but I've been listening to this call, and we had breakthrough with our son and daughter this week in unparalleled ways. So it must be there's just a higher frequency going. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Oh, God bless
you,
brother.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really
good.
That's
great.
For both of you.
Celebrate that. That's amazing.
So
we're all celebrating.
We are. And I also want to say that there's, you know, I want to just touch on a little bit of what you said about, you know, like I'm very familiar with Dr. Corrine Allen's work with the brain and so forth. Dr. Joe Dispenza is also a neuroscientist, and he did a TED Talk in Tacoma. You can find it on YouTube. And where he talks about, you know, how do we change our minds? How do we change our brains? And it is true that we create these neural pathways. And the analogy I like to use is like, let's say you had a corner property and there was no sidewalk. And so people are walking around, you know, like they're cutting across the corner of your lawn. And as they walk across it, they're creating a pathway there. And it starts to wear away the lawn until there's a dirt path now that has been cut into the lawn. And that's how our neural pathways are laid down, is if we constantly rehearsing our pain and constantly going over, you know, these negative moments, we lay down a pathway. There's a track that these signals go along. Now, let's say with that house, they decided to put in a sidewalk. And so now there's a clear path going around the corner. There's a sidewalk. And the people start to use the sidewalk, and they're no longer cutting across the lawn. So what happens over time is, well, there's less impulses going across that pathway, and that pathway over time will now be absorbed back into the lawn, and it becomes the lawn again. Because now there's a new pathway. There's a new track that's been laid down, and that the impulses and the people are walking that way. It's the same thing that happens in our brain. And so by repetition, by putting on that frequency, notice what we're noticing, we start to change that frequency. And Joe Dispenza talks about it from a scientific point of view, how once we start to lay down that new thought, that new pattern with repetition and practice and putting on our vision, putting on our dream, it starts to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And it starts to, and the same thing with our paradigms, it starts to pull from that. And the old, the paradigms start to get reprogrammed because that those neural impulses start to be less and less and less, and they're going down this new pathway until actually the new pathway absorbs the old one. And that's what happens when we start to repattern. So if you guys want to look, you know, look for that. Dr. Joe Dispenza in Tacoma, TED Talk in Tacoma. And it's a brilliant teaching on how, you know, he explains it scientifically. And he uses, like, his relationship with his mother-in-law, which is kind of funny, because he says, I hate my mother-in-law, you know, and he goes through that. He goes through a patterning shift for himself where he changed that into, you know, I love my mother-in-law. And so it's a really interesting, it's an interesting thing. So just to close out, we're at the bottom of the hour here. Just to close out this, I want, you know, one of the ways we really want to tune in to our dreams is what we call five sensorize your dream. And so we interact with the world around us using our five senses. That's how we see, interact with the land of effect and circumstance. We do have other faculties, our mental faculties, that we interact with our higher power, with unseen forces around us, like our imagination and our memory and our will and our reason and so forth. So one way to really begin tuning in to your dream is using your whole body. You want to tune into the frequency using your whole body, your five sensorize it. So you want to use all of your senses. And what is it? So when you walk into your dream, into that part of it, what does it smell like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it taste like? And so Mary talks about those scaffolding images that woman helped her with, where it's like, okay, she's in a hospital. She's only expected to live another 6 months, but she said, What would you love? Oh, I would love, you know, for my son to be in kindergarten. And so she sensorized it. She said, what does it feel like to hold his little hand in yours? Feel it. Feel his skin, the texture of his skin, the warmth of his hand. Hear the clip, clip, clip of your heels on the tile as you're walking down the hallway. So you want to sensorize it as much as possible. So even if you're using your memory to step back into a memory that was just joyful and love, put it on. Put that on. What did it smell like? What did it taste like? What did it feel like? Really five sensorizing. And allow yourself to feel it in your whole body.
And you're getting into vibration.
Getting into vibration. So the person in your vision, who you become, what does that person do? Say, eat, where? Where does that person hang out? Who do they hang out with? What kind of conversations are you having? What does it mean? What does that person do when they walk out of the door in the morning? You know, what does that person watch on television or listen to on the radio? What does that person read? So you want to step into your vision and put on that person. It's a powerful way to begin tuning into the frequency of your dream. So you're just raising your vibration. You're changing that energetic signature. And so this week, the life work for this week is we want to imagine ourselves in our dream using our whole body, all five senses. So go through and make sure you're putting on your vision. You're putting into your dream, but step into it. Have it like a virtual reality. You're stepping into it. So what does your dream look like, smell like, taste like, feel like, sound like? Really put it on. If you're living that life, what do you do? What do you say? How do you say it? What are you wearing? What do you eat? Where are you eating? You know, who do you hang out with? What kind of conversations? Really put that person on this week. And then the other thing is what's the one thing you can do to take a step in the direction of your dream this week? Any aspect of it. What's one thing that you can do? The universe, God rewards action. God loves action. We're here to move. We're physically made to move. Our action puts us in a position to receive what the universe has set in motion. So it's all about action. So make the phone call, clean out a closet, take action, whatever that is. And you're going to listen to it's audios 4 and 5. We're going into week 3, so there's 2 lessons for next time. It's 4 and 5, and do the exercises in the workbook. Put on, you know, do that life work. It's so important. Now, looking over the next 2 weeks, we've got the holidays coming up. So what I want to propose, and if it's okay with everybody, next Wednesday is the day after Christmas, and I know there's an, I mean, with us, we've got tons of family around and this and that. Yeah. And the week after that is Christmas, is New Year's Day.
Right.
So, so what we propose is maybe we meet in 2 weeks' time. So on the 8th, does that work for everyone? That'll give you time to really, you know, spend time with your family, your loved ones and stuff, but catch up on some of the homework, really, you know, put on, practice putting on that vision, five-sensorize it, tweak
yeah,
it, write
use the time to dive deep. If
dive deep into it, listen to the lessons again. Does that, is that
great
sound like
idea.
A plan?
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea to me.
Yep.
All
yeah,
right,
that's fine. I actually have been listening. I completed week the first two lessons, and but I actually revisited it and listened to it again, and I listened to the audios again, and yeah, definitely, I can definitely. Yeah, no problem. So you're talking,
Mark?
January.
Is that okay with you?
That would really be good for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
great.
Good. All right, so actually looking at the calendar, so it would actually be January 2nd. It would be 2 weeks from today. So next week is
January
the 26th. 2nd. Day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the day after Christmas, and then January 2nd. Is that good for everybody?
Yep, perfect.
That's
yeah,
great.
That's fine.
Cool, okay. Yeah. And again, you know, you guys got text. We have a new notification system we put into place. So we'll send out the reminders as well.
Okay.
And I just want to wish, you know, both Caroline and I want to wish from the bottom of our hearts that everybody have a very, very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You too.
Notice what you're noticing. The paradigms, they're going to come up because you're going to have, you're going to see family, you're going to see friends, you're going to have, you know, it may pull up some old patterns. It's a perfect opportunity. Write them down. Notice what you're noticing. Write them down. Journal them, you know, it puts attention on it, but it puts awareness on it, but it doesn't put attention on it. You just want to write it down and acknowledge it, and that'll give you that opportunity to start reprogramming it. All right?
Great.
And paradigms only come
right.
up when we're on our green growing edge. So we celebrate them, we notice them,
yep.
and then we repattern them.
We repattern
gotcha.
Them. All right?
Yep.
Okay.
And if you need us, something comes up, you guys are really, you know, having a hard time with something, don't hesitate to reach out. That's what we're here for. We are all
okay.
partners in believing
sounds
here
good.
And lean on us for that. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
All right. Love you all.
God bless everybody.
God bless
yes,
everybody.
God bless. Will you guys be in church on Sunday?
I'm
oh,
going to see you. Well, I'm going to
be
at the service at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve in Wyckoff.
Wyckoff.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be there
Sunday?
Sunday
yep.
as well. Yeah, we'll be there
I'm gonna,
Sunday.
I'll try for Sunday, but my son comes in Sunday from
oh, right.
Utah.
Okay.
Right.
And then,
spend time with him.
Yeah, and then Monday, I already told him I plan on bringing him. I want him to meet Father Pat. Pastor
oh, absolutely.
Pat.
Yep.
Pastor
yeah.
Pat. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. He's amazing.
So,
amazing.
What do you think?
He really is. Wonderful.
Like, the service starts at 4. But I really want my son to meet Pastor Pat. I'm thinking
he'll,
getting
he'll
there,
get their half hour
ahead, right?
yeah, get their half hour ahead of time because usually you have worship anyway, so the worship team will be
yeah.
playing.
Yeah, he's incredible. I love him. He
yeah.
recommended a few books that I've already read, and I've left
nice.
Them on my son's bed, and I,
okay.
I you know just for him to read, and
yeah.
you know he's
so,
a teenager.
So just as an aside, here's a perfect example. Pastor Pat went through what your son is going through.
Yes.
And
yeah.
so he lived that. His mess is his
he
message.
Did.
And what look how powerful that is and what he turned that around. You know,
I know.
So
right.
I know.
That's
I
a living
that.
Example
I dream,
of,
I, that's,
of
that's
exactly
my
what
dream
we're talking
is,
about.
That's
yeah.
my dream is my son to connect with Father, you know, Pastor Pat.
Pastor Pat, yeah. yeah.
Me
yeah.
too.
So
yeah.
hold
yeah.
that vision.
Too,
hold
Camille.
That vision.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll hold that vision
yeah,
and be vibrant. And we'll hold that as well.
Yeah.
All right, God bless everybody.
Right, okay,
love
thank
you
guys.
All.
Love you.
I have
bye.
A good night.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, goodbye, hon. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.